Good evening, Rabosai. Every year on Yom HaTzmaut, I try to learn a sugya that relates to the halachas of Eretz Yisrael. And given that this year is Shemitah, I figured it would be very appropriate to speak about Shemitah b'zman hazeh. And we're going to find something absolutely fascinating about perhaps what Shemitah b'zman hazeh should look like. As Hashem, over the next few weeks in shul, in 2 or 3 weeks, there's going to be we're going to have some speakers about Shemitah, but from Eretz Yisrael. And I want to talk about one very specific aspect. I'm going to talk about a big question about Shemitah b'zman hazeh. It's going to take me a few minutes to build up to what the question is. But first, we're going to get ourselves a little bit of a background and an introduction to the halachas of Shemitah b'zman hazeh. And then, after we do, we're going to get to a very big, big, really big question. After we present the very big question, we will dig into possible answers to that question. That'll be the duration of the shiur. But the question is going to be so big that it's going to make us wonder why we have to do anything about Shemitah b'zman hazeh. And I know we're very much removed from the halachos of Shemitah, but if you live in Eretz Yisrael, this is part of your everyday, you know, gastronomic activity. You have a breakfast, you have a lunch, you have supper. Every day, every time you go to the supermarket, you have to make decisions. Are you buying Hetu Mechira? Are you buying Otzer Bezdin, are you buying Yevul Nachri, are you buying Yevul Chutz La'aretz? When you're getting rid, when you're finishing your Suda, when you're cutting up your Suda, when you're throwing it in the garbage, you have to think about Kedushas Peres Shvius many times a day. And here we live.
It has to do with us also, because you can buy fruits.
Yeah, and here, every 7 months, you go to Costco, and it happens to be Jaffa oranges, and you call the rabbi once every 7 months. You get the point. So at least we could learn the sugya and thereby hopefully participate in the kedusha that Shvius, that Shemitah offers. And before I begin, I really want to point out something that Ari Bergman pointed out to me, and that is that there's, I believe, is it a Ramban? Maybe there's a Ramban who says that there is no achila, b'zman hazeh, that you could ingest kedusha. We don't have korbanos, we don't have truma, we're not able to eat truma b'zman hazeh. There's one thing that you could eat that has kedusha, and that's fruits of Eretz Yisrael. This year, Peres Shvius. And even that, the one thing that you could have, can you imagine eating a shtick kedusha? Eating a piece of a kedusha? Even that we don't have here in Chutz La'aretz. So hopefully Hashem should take our learning Torah about Shemitah and consider it as though we are living a life of observing Shemitah. Okay, so the Gemara starts, the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, tells us the first three words are the most important. I'm going to buy Shvius b'zman hazeh. Whatever the Gemara is talking about, it's talking about Prisbal, but we're not going to talk about Prisbal. The Gemara says, how can you make Prisbal? Isn't that an Akira Stavim and Torah? You're making somebody pay money that they don't really owe. The Gemara says, no, it's Shvius b'zman hazeh, and it goes according to Rebbe, because Rebbe holds that the Shemitah b'zman hazeh is only d'rabbanan. Without going into how we know the Shemitah b'zman hazeh is only d'rabbanan, but the Gemara says Shemitah b'zman hazeh is only d'rabbanan, and therefore, just like Shemitah of the ground is only d'rabbanan, so too Shemitah of loans is only d'rabbanan, and since Shemitah of loans is only d'rabbanan, therefore they can make a prizbol, which is call it a halachic fiction, or call it a weaseling, wiggling way to get out of the din daraisa of Shemitah's Ksafim. And therefore, you could do it because just like Shemitah's Karka is midrabbanim nowadays, so too the Shemitah's Ksafim. What we need to see from that is really not the main point. The main point that Gemara is talking about Shemitah's Ksafim and Prisbal. What we're going to pull from that is what I want to discuss, and that is Shemitah's Karka, the Shemitah of the land of Eretz Yisrael. It's only going to be midrabbanim b'zman hazeh. Now, why is Shemitah b'zman hazeh only midrabbanan? So if you look on the sheets, at the first source, it says the second line of Rashi. Rashi asks a question. The one who's teaching us this halacha is Hillel. Hillel was one who was misakin Prisbal. And Prisbal, the leniency of Prisbal, the ability to collect a loan during Shemitah, after Shemitah, through Prisbal, is only because Shemitah is midrabbanan. But wait a second. When did Hillel live? Hillel lived during the Beis HaMikdash. And during the Beis HaMikdash, presumably Shemitah was still d'oraisa. So how could Hillel create Prisbal based on the fact that Shemitah is only d'rabbanan when he lived in a time in history when there was Shemitah d'oraisa?
He can't anticipate the fact that he's
That could be an answer. That could be an answer, but that's not what Rashi is going to say. Some do say that, Mr. Klinkowitz, but Rashi is going to say something else. V'yafal gav, look at the second line of Rashi. V'yafal gav de hillel. Oh, I'm sorry, I'd have to share the screen. I'm sorry to all the people who are on Zoom. Librius. Okay. The Afal Gav, you see it's highlighted on the screen. The Hilo B'Bayis Sheni Hava. So of course, so then if it's during the Beis Hamikdash, there should be Shemitah Daraisa. Listen to what he says. He says even during the Beis Hamikdash, the second Beis Hamikdash, Shemitah was not Daraisa. Why? Because Shemitah is based on. Let me rephrase that. There's only Shemitah Daraisa if Yovel is Midaraisa, and Yovel is only Midaraisa as when the Torah says only when Kol Yosheveha Aleha. When the majority of Klal Yisrael lives in Eretz Yisrael, in our ancestral Nachalos, all of Ephraim is in Ephraim, and Menashe is in Menashe, and Reuven is in Reuven, and Shevet Yehuda is in the land of Shevet Yehuda. If we're mostly in Eretz Yisrael, and we're living in our Nachala, then Yovel is Midoraisa. Then there will be Yovel. And if we'll have Yovel, then we'll also have Shemitah. In the second Beis Hamikdash, Rabbi Osai, where was the majority of the Jewish people? They were in Bavel. If you look at the numbers of Jews who came to build the second Beis Hamikdash, it's frighteningly small.
10 tribes.
That's even more so. That's even earlier. But a very few, small, tiny population came back to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. So in the second Beis Hamikdash, in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, we were not fulfilling Yovel Yisrael Leha. Therefore, in the second Beis Hamikdash, there was no Yovel. And therefore, even in the second Beis Hamikdash, in the time of Hillel, who's the one who was Misak and Prisbo, even in the time of Hillel, in the second Beis Hamikdash, Shemitah was not Midaraisa. Shemitah was only Midarabanan. Even during the Beis Hamikdash, only the second. The first Beis Hamikdash, we were all settled in Eretz Yisrael. Fine. So, point number one that we have to know is that Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is only Midarabanan. Why? Because we don't have Yovel, and the reason why we don't have Yovel is because we're not all settled in Eretz Yisrael. That's number one. Number two, we have to know how to count years. And that will bring us to the question I'm going to want to discuss this evening. How to count years. We know that there's 7 years to a Shemitah cycle. We know that there are 7 cycles of Shemitah, and then you get to? Yovel. So my question is, what year is Yovel? Year number? 50.
To my focus.
Not really. Yovel is number 50. The question is...
Yeah, but whether it overlaps or not...
That's the question. The question is that when you get to the fifth, you have 7 cycles of 7, so you count the 49 years of 7 Shemitahs, then you get to the 50th year of Yovel. What is the year of Yovel? Is the year of Yovel the year 1 of the next Shemitah cycle? Or is the year of Yovel a blank year between the 7 years that precede it and the 7 years that will follow it? And it's just like Parv. There's Milchix before, there's Flacius, I don't know, Flacius before, Flacius after, it's Parv in the middle. It's nothing. Is it a blank year, not included in any count of any 7-year cycle? Or is it just the first of the next 7 years? Let me explain what the difference is going to be. Over 100 years, what do you have? Well, if you count the 50th year as a blank year, so you have 49 years of 7 Shemitahs, 50th year is blank. Another 49 years, that's from 51 to 99 is 49 years, then the 100th year is blank. So what do you have over a 100-year period? You have 2 sets of Shemitah cycles, and you had 2 blank years. Okay, what happens if you count the Yovel year as the first year of the Shemitah cycle? So in 100 years, you know what you have? 7 Shemitah cycles plus 2 remainder. 2 into the next Shemitah cycle. So which one is the correct way to count? So here, it's more than a machlokas. It's 2 stages in history. And within the second stage of history, we're going to find the machlokas. Let me explain. The halacha is that during the time of, from when we started counting Shemitah and Yovel, which was after we were settled in Eretz Yisrael in our homes, in our nachalos, throughout the first period of living in Eretz Yisrael, throughout all the Nevi'im, throughout the Shoftim, throughout the Melachim, the first Beis Hamikdash, We all counted the Seder. There was no question about how to count. It was 49 years plus 50th year that doesn't count as any other year. And then in year 51, you began again the new cycle of seven. That means the Yovel year was a blank year. However, in after Churban Bayis Rishon, and we no longer count Yovels anymore, we no longer practice Yovel anymore. Why don't we practice Yovel anymore? Because once we were thrown out of Eretz Yisrael, the first time, even when we came back later, once we were left Eretz Yisrael the first time, for the rest of history until today, we're not Rov Yoshev Ha'ala, we're not the majority, we're not fully in Eretz Yisrael in our ancestral homes. And therefore, from the time that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 350 before the Common Era, or so, 420 before the Common, yeah, about 420 before the Common Era, from that point, for the past 2,500 years, we have not had Yovel. And since we haven't had Yovel, maybe there's no point in leaving a blank year for Yovel if we don't do Yovel anymore. We still do Shemitah, at least Midrabanan. But how are we going to count our Shemitah B'zman Hazeh? Comes the Rambam, let's look at the Rambam. Let's look at the Rambam, Hilchos Shemitah, Yovel, Perek Yud, Halacha Gimel. And the Rambam says the following. What he said before this piece is that in the first Beis HaMikdash, and in the years prior to the first Beis HaMikdash, while we had the Mishkan and the first Beis HaMikdash, we counted 49 years, then we had a break for a year, the 50th year was a blank year, and then after the Yovel, you began a new cycle of year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. However, look at the Rambam, Allah Ezra, when Ezra returned to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel, Vihi Habiyah Hashniya, that's the second coming, not of the Lord, but the second coming of the Jewish people to the Holy Land. They started counting a new count. Fine, and how do you count? Look what I underlined. Even though there was no Yovel in Bayis Sheni, but you know what? They still counted the 50th year as a blank year. That's what they did after. There was no need to count a 50th year, but they wanted to count the 50th year so everyone will know when Shemitah is. That's what the Rambam says is the halacha. But in halacha, hey, look what he says. Aval. Even though that's what I think the halacha is, Aval kol ha-ga'onim amru, but the ga'onim argue on me. And they have a mesorah be'yadehem ish mipi ish. They have a mesorah mouth to mouth from the time of, from being in Eretz Yisrael, from the time of Ezra, I guess, from the time of the second the Churban Bayis Sheni, that during that time period, after when Yovel is no longer practiced, they didn't keep that 50th year. They skipped that 50th year in the count. They went straight, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, another 7, another 7. When they got to 49, what did they do right when they got to 49? If there's no Yovels, the tradition that we have, Ish Mipi Ish, from that time period is that at after year 49, they just started again at 0. So that means by the time you got to year 100, you had two full cycles and two remainder. Aval kol ha-gaon, look at halacha hey. Aval kol ha-gaonim amru, shemesores hi biyadehem ish mi pi ish, which is incredible that we have, you know, just to see this mesora, mouth to mouth. Shalomanu ba'osun ha-shevim shana, shebein churban bayis rishon, ubinyan bayis sheni. During even the 70 years while we were thrown into Galus Bavel, all they counted was shmitos bavad. We didn't count the 50th year, below Yovel. And afterwards also, it continued that way. So what is the Rambam going to say? I feel this way, but the Gaonim held that way, right? No, we have something remarkable. The Rambam says, even though I'm convinced that you do count the 50th year, and you add a blank year, but since the tradition that we have is not like what I think is the correct halacha, look at halacha vav. This is what the Gaonim said after the three dots. Al zeh anu somchen, we follow what the Gaonim said. Not like me, says the Rambam. Ukefi ha-cheshbon zeh anu moron l'inin maestros, u'shviyas, ha-shvadas, k'sav. We count the counting based on, now the halacha of how to count the years, the Shemitah years, is very important because it has halacha in terms of which kind of a maestro you give. It has halacha as far as when you practice Shemitah. It has halacha when you're going to do your prusbles, when the loans will be canceled. The halachas are applicable as to, you have to know what year of the Shemitah cycle you're in. Why do we follow the Gaonim who say that you ignore, nowadays you ignore the 50th year, you just go 49, another 49, another 49, another 49, another 49, and you don't leave any blank here for Yovel? Look what I underlined. Shahakabala vahamaisa amudim gdolim bahara. Tradition of what people do is a very significant aspect of halacha. I think that's wrong, says the Rambam. I learned the sugya, says the Rambam, and that's not the right thing. But you know what? I submit my head, I bow my head in submission to the custom. And the tradition that we have from the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, from Galus Bayis Rishon, the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, is that you go 49 and you start your new 49 right away. Interestingly enough, you know who argues on this Rambam? The Ravid, who argues on all the Rambams. I know what the Ravid says? The Ravid says, don't say that the Gaonim are right, you're right. So you have the most remarkable thing. In every place that you have Machlokas, Rambam, and Ravid. The one place where the Rambam says that Halacha is not like me, guess what the Ravid says? No, here the Halacha is like you. Remarkable, remarkable. Okay. So what we have here is we have a very fundamental Machlokas, Rabosai. This year is Shemitah, right? That's what we thought. It's Shemitah according to the Gaonim. But you know what? According to the Rambam, what he really holds is the right year. This is not Shemitah. Now, Rabbo, so we're ready for the question that I wanted to present for this evening. We're ready to start the shir. I made 2 points so far. Point number one is that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is mide Rabbanan. Point number two that we just finished learning is that, is this year Shemitah? It's a suffix. It's a suffix. According to the tradition, the Gaonim, the tradition, it is. According to the Rambam, says the halacha should be, it's not. That's what we want to talk about tonight. The question I want to talk tonight is, Rabosai, why don't we say, if this year we don't know if it is Shemitah or not Shemitah, and Shemitah anyway, Bizman Hazeh Zlami Drabanan, why don't we say suffix Drabanan Lakula and not practice Shemitah Bizman Hazeh? It would make life so much easier. You go to any restaurant, you don't have to worry about what hashgacha they hold. You go to your aunt and uncle in Nahariya, you don't have to worry about, you know, what they hold for Shemitah. You go to the yeshivas, don't have to worry about this or that, or the land. We're going to have a fundraiser for these Shemitah organizations. You don't have to spend all the money for these fundraisers. For the farmers, let them in. It's a regular year. Oh, Shemitah, b'zman hazeh, yeah, it's only Drabanan, and it's a suffix when it should be. Suffix Drabanan if this year is Shemitah. Suffix Drabanan on whatever other year, according to the other calculation, whether it's Shemitah. So what do you do when you have a Suffix Drabanan? There should be no Shemitah. That's the question for tonight.
This, of course, and
what?
We never apply that logic if it ends up with officiating of the mitzvah.
That is exactly what we're going to talk about right now.
We talked about this. Haseba dal kosos.
Well, that's exactly what the next Maror Malkum is. You're jumping the gun.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to read the what I just went through in terms of the calculations, skipping the Yovel or not skipping the Yovel, I have an English, you can look at the English on page 2. I found it online who clarifies very clearly exactly what I just said, which basically is that until, as long as we were living in Eretz Yisrael, in the first Beis HaMikdash, we were all living there, and Yovel was practiced. Everyone held. There was no machlokas whatsoever. That you count 49, then you take a break from counting the seven-year cycle, and you have a Yovel year, and then you start counting the new cycle of seven in the 51st year. Everyone agrees. No one argues on that. The machlokas only began when there is no Yovel anymore. Then is there any point in counting the Yovel? And that's machlokas. So nowadays we have the machlokas. Okay. Now let's see who asks this question that I just asked you, and that's the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi gives you a little bit of historical juice. It's going to be a juicy, you'll see it's a juicy topic in the Beis HaLevi. It was in the newspapers, and there are fights about this point that I'm going to share with you right now. Let's see the historical context on the bottom of page 2. In the Beis HaLevi, Shaila Sutshu is the very first simon in Chelek Gimel of the Shaila Sutshu's Beis HaLevi. It is an incredibly, incredibly long tshuva about Shemitah b'zman hazeh. And towards the end of the tshuva, in Simon Tes, he goes through he raises the following practical shaila. Hinei b'shanim halalu, these years, kanu eze mishpacha sados b'eretz HaKodesh. Some families have purchased properties, fields in Eretz Yisrael. What's going to be the halacha in the year of Tav Resh Mem Tes? Now let's just think. When is Tav Resh Mem Tes? We're now in Tav Shin Pei Beis. So this is 133 years ago. So is 133 years ago divisible by 7?
1888.
133 divided by 7 means 70. 70 plus...
Well, Tav Resh is 1840.
67...
It's 1840 plus
49.
163. Oh, 63. Touching papers. Yeah, 63. I'm sorry. Not in 67. Yeah, it's 100. 100. What did I just say? 133 years. Yeah.
1888.
Wait, does that work? 133, isn't it? Okay, fine. 1888. Great. Fine. So it's about. So what year is this, Mr. Bergman?
1888, 89.
Tav Resh is 1840. Okay, so it's about Tav Resh, 1889. We're talking about 130 years ago, give or take. So according to this year, according to the Rambam, maybe he's saying according to the Rambam. It's the count according to the Rambam, not according to what we have. V'hamichtav ha'iti ha'melitz. I think that was a certain newspaper. I think he's talking about a certain newspaper. Hitpis, the next few words are a little hard to read. They published some kind of newspaper, periodical or Jewish magazine, published something from a number of people that wanted to be matir, not keeping Shemitah. Number one, V'hine, ha-matir ha-rishon kosav, kev de-shviz bisman ha-zeh u-de-rabban. Look what I'm about to underline. Shemitah bisman ha-zeh u-de-rabban, as we clarified in the first source. V'chev, and look what I underlined, de-machalokis ha-rishonim hu, b'cheshbon ha-shemitah. And we have a machalokis in the calculation of the Shemitah year. If it's in shnas tav resh mem tes, or b'shnas tav resh chav hei, ha-avar. If it's, the numbers are messed up, but whatever. Since we have a question of the years, which one year is Shemitah, it should be a Safik b'drabanan, and we should be Mekel. And therefore, it should be Mutter, concludes this. These people who published the article in this periodical in the 1880s, Mutarm Lachrosh, you should be permitted to plow. Of course, plowing is one of the four melachos that are asa daraisa during the Shemitah year in a farm. It should be Mutter l'chatchila to plow during both years. Why? Because they're both Safik b'drabanans, and it's a Safik Drabbanans Lahakel. They're both Drabbanans, and it's a Safik, which is the right year. You should be able to plow in both years. In other words, there should not be any Shemitah Bizman Hazeh. Hold on. And the Beis HaLevi points out that it's very frustrating, because you know what the name of the person who wrote the article was on the bottom of the article? Anonymous. He didn't sign his name. Whenever you get a psak, but the rabbi says, but don't tell anybody that I said it, it's not worth it. It's not something you can rely on. If somebody's not willing to put his name on it, what is it worth? The guy who came up with this great idea that there's no Shemitah nowadays didn't put his name on it. But it sounds like he's very proud of this Chiddush. Raknir Shakos Mispire, he's glory, he's very proud of this Chiddush. But it happens to be it's not a Chiddush. It's a Milchames Mishnah, which we'll see in a minute. Bemis Ikra Svara Lavdi Dehu, it's not his Svara. Rak Lachi, he took it from the Divrei Milchames Mishnah, which we'll see in a minute, in Hilchos Megillah, who quoted a Mabit, which we'll see soon, and Bez Hashem, we'll see that in a few minutes. Okay. So now, Rabosai, we're going to try to explain why this is an untenable Chiddush, why it's not possible to say that we should say Shemitah's Drabbanon, and it's a Safi because we don't know how to count the years, and therefore just throw Shemitah away. You don't have to worry about Shemitah anymore. I'm going to explain why that can't be. And the Sugya appears in at least two places in Shas. The first one, as Mr. Bergman mentioned, is a Gemara in Arvei Psachim on Dav Kuvches Amar Aleph in Arvei Psachim, towards the top of page 3. Here we have machlokas. Everyone agrees when it comes to matzah, you're supposed to do haseba. When it comes to maror, you don't do haseba. And the Gemara asks, what about wine? Do you need to do haseba for wine? And the Gemara quotes Rav Nachman, and there are two versions of Rav Nachman. One version of Rav Nachman says you have to do the first two cups only, and the Gemara gives a reason. The other version of Rav Nachman himself says you only have to do the last two cups only, and not the first two cups, and gives a different reason. And the Gemara concludes that, what do we do? One version of Nachman says you have the first two. One version says you have to do the last two. Each one have different reasonings. What should we do? We don't know which version of Nachman to follow. So stop. Before we look at the conclusion of the Gemara, what should be the halacha? Heseba is a mitzvah midah Rabbanan. And we have a suffix whether we should do the first two or the last two. So what should we say theoretically? Suffix Rabbanan Lekula. Yeah, that's not what the Gemara paskins. Look what I have here. Underlined at the end of this piece, after the small letters of the Gemara and Pesachim, Hashta Ditmar Hachi Vitmar Hachi, since the Gemara concludes, since it says one opinion is two, the first two you do Haseba, the other opinion says you do the other two, Idu Ba Haseba, you have to recline for all four Kosos. What's the obvious question? The obvious question is, why does the Gemara conclude you have to recline for all four Kosos? You should have to recline for?
None.
And therefore, you don't have to do the first two. You should suffix the Rabban Lahakel on the last two, and I have to do the last two. And you shouldn't have to do Haseba on any wine. Matzah, you will have to, because there's no question about matzah.
But you can be Yotze all the sheet if you do it. I mean, it's
do what you want. But let me ask you a question. Let's say you didn't. Do you have to do it again?
If you what?
You're telling me that you just want to be frum and do it again anyway. You just say you want to be full, you might as well do it well.
Yeah.
So I'm asking, what happens if you drank it already? Are you going to have to drink again?
No.
So that, okay. The Gemara, according to this Gemara, maybe you will have to. Because this Gemara is saying you have to do all four.
Well, let's say after the kosher meat, you wouldn't drink it again.
So let's see, let's see.
Under Kimos of Alakosis is a detrimental.
Right. Where it's not a detriment, you may say you fulfill the sign of the Sunday.
So we're not going to go beyond that. We could give a shiur on this one point, which we're not going to, but I wanted you to see this question that the Ran asks. The Ran, in the middle of page 2, on the back of the back of Gemara Pesachim, there's the riff. The Ran on the riff asks the following. He quotes the Gemara. The Gemara said in bold letters, Kulhu Bao Haseba. He asks the Ran, right, you see the numbers 1 and 2, right above numbers 1 and 2. Kulhu Bao Haseba. Frek the Ran. V'yafal gav, even though the Ba'alma in general came along Ipcha, normally we hold the opposite, that kol sveik d'rabban Allah kula. So why here is the Gemara saying you have a suffix d'rabban and you should be machmir and recline for all four, to the contrary you should recline on none of them. So number one is similar to what Datva Shevkin said. He says, come on, how hard is it to lean over? It's not such a big deal. If you have a suffix d'rabban, you're going to say, I have to be makel. Just to be spite, just lean over to the left and drink. Come on. That's number one. Halacha came to lav milsa de trichahi. Since it's not something that's a tircha, it's not so terrible and difficult. Abdina, do it. L'ravcha de milsa, just do it. You know, be from. You might as well do it. It's not such a big deal. I'm saying if I had to pay $100, maybe I wouldn't do it. But if you just lean to the left, so go ahead and lean to the left. Says the Rav, but I have a different answer. V'linira, that's what others explain. Valina, but I think number two, the al karchach, it's not just that you should, or it's a nice thing, you must lean to the left on all four. And I'll tell you why. Valina, the al karchach bayad lemebed has seba bekulu. Because what's going to happen if you're going to be makel indeed, suffik d'avan lahakel? D'i nezel akula, if you're going to be makel, which ones are you going to be makel on? If you're going to be makel on the first two, why the first two? Okay, the last two? Why the last two? I mean, we know that one of them you have to be reclined for. So how could you pick which one? There's nothing pushing you to pick A or B, or B or A. So what's going to end up? You're not going to lean by any of them? If you're going to be makel by both of them, look what I underlined, v'nek v'chavayu, you're going to uproot the mitzvah of Haseba, of reclining for the wine entirely, and that's untenable. What do you see from this round? You see that when you have a suffik d'rabban l'hakel, and applying suffik d'rabban l'hakel will make the mitzvah non-existent, we don't apply the rule of suffik d'rabban l'hakel.
So you have to do both shmitas and all four? You can't just pick the first.
If we stop here and go straight back using this ran to Arasha that we started with, and this is going to be the beginnings of our discussion, we're now going to be able to start digging deeper, but the simple first answer that we're going to give of why the original question is, why do I have to keep shmita b'zman hazeh? I don't know which year. And therefore, I should say something whenever a possible year of Shemitah comes, according to one opinion, the Rambam or the Gaonim, whenever any one of those two possible calculated years come, I should say Shemitah nowadays is only the Rabbanon, and the Rambam holds this year Shemitah, But it's a suffix, because maybe the Gaonim are right. I don't want to keep it. And when the year comes according to the Gaonim, and I'm going to say maybe the Rambam is right, and suffix, and it's only the Rabbanim to keep it. So I won't keep it this year, Shemitah. I'll end up not keeping Shemitah at all. And therefore, this Lamdos would say that we're not going to apply the din of Safik Rabbanu Lekula when it's going to uproot entirely the mitzvah in its entirety.
Can Kimli and Pig decide?
We don't, I'm saying, we don't know. We don't know. But we don't know if he's right.
Wouldn't uproot it. Let's say I'll go with the Rambam. I'll follow his
Kimli. What right do you have to go like the Rambam? What right do you have to... If he's your Rebbe, okay. I don't know. Okay, we're not all from Teman. We don't all know. But, and even if you follow the from Teman, so what are you going to do? The Rambam himself says, "I think this is right, but the custom is that way, so do that way."
Yeah.
What do the Temanim do?
I don't know. Whatever they do.
They follow it.
Same, but they're consistent. Like if you follow, I'll drink by the first two closest best sable.
But how do you? You don't know if that one's right. Like they're both Rav Nachman in that case. It happens to be you can't even follow your Rebbe because there are two versions of the same person. Okay, that's that first part of this. That's the first third of this shiur. Maybe half, but maybe third. Okay, now we're going to get it. That was the easy part. Now we're going to get into the more exciting part. More exciting part is the following. We're going to take this idea that the main point that I hope you come out with tonight from tonight's shiur is this svara of the Ran that when you're going to be makel in... when you're going to apply Safik D'Rabban L'Hakel and it will end up uprooting the entire mitzvah in its entirety, we will not say the rule of Safik D'Rabban L'Hakel. I'm going to give you another case where you have a similar situation of a Din D'Rabbanan and there's a Safik and you'll see what we do with it.
Does it matter whether it's a Din D'Rabbanan based on the Raisa or whether it's a D'Rabbanan freestanding?
Let's answer that. Let's think about your question in a few minutes, because you might be able to answer it yourself. Okay, let's look on a Gemara Megillah, Daf Hey Amud Beis. There's a question about certain cities. Let's now talk about Purim. You lay in the Megillah on what day? Wrong.
The 11th to the
15th. Nah, that was cheap. You lay in the Megillah, the answer is it depends, right? Like every good, whenever I ask a question, my students always know the right answer is going to be it depends. If you're in Yerushalayim, it's on the 15th. If in the rest of the world, it's the 14th. If you're in, Yericho, wherever Yericho was, where the walls fell down, then it's on the 15th. If it's a Mukav Chomam Yimos Yeshua Ben Nun, it's on the 15th.
So in Prague, also the 15th.
Where?
In Prague.
Prague. They think they might have had walls from 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, they lay in both days.
Fascinating. Okay.
Tveria is a
suffix. Tveria. That's incredible. You know why? Because that's the next line of the Gemara.
Oh.
That's the next line that we're going to do. The Gemara Megillah says, in Tveria, Chizkiah, I don't know what they do nowadays, but maybe they follow this.
They do.
Thank you. That's fascinating.
Well, in Tzvat, they lay the second minion besuffic.
I guess because Tzvat is right adjacent to Tveria. I mean, it's not really adjacent.
I know.
Like
I have neighbors who go, and the second day they read without a
fascinating.
Well, without a bracha.
Okay.
Not for everybody. I mean, okay. Let's
go. So for the frumis. So Chizkiah kari b'Tveria. Chizkiah wasn't sure whether Tveria was such a city that had a wall from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, and therefore he read the Megillah on the 14th and the 15th of Adar. Hello, doctor. Misapkei, why did he do this? The Gemara Megillah says, because he was uncertain. Now, I have a question for you. Reading the Megillah, doctor, is Mide Rabbanon. Now, keep in mind, it's Mide Rabbanon that's based on... Okay, so that's not really your question. Your question is the Rabbanon based on a mitzvah d'raisa. This is a higher level Rabbanon called Mide Rabbanon from it's a Rabbanon that's in Tanakh. Okay, so it's a mitzvah Rabbanon. And you're uncertain which day you have to lay in the Megillah. If you don't know if this is a day that needs to be read, that has to have the Megillah read on the 14th of Adar or on the 15th of Adar. So when you get to the 14th of Adar, what could you say? There's a Safek D'Rabbanan if I have to read the Megillah today. So I'm not going to do it. And when you get to the 15th of Adar, you're going to say the next day, you're going to say, there's a Safek D'Rabbanan whether I have to read the Megillah today. I don't want to read Megillah today either. Safek D'Rabbanan L'Kula. So, you should not have to lean at all. And what did he do? He did both. Why? What's going to be the obvious answer? That if you're going to apply Savi Drabbanan LaHakla and it's going to uproot the entire mitzvah, we're not going to apply the rule of Savi Drabbanan LaKula. So that's what you'd expect to find in the same person who said it, in the Ran, in the discussion of the reclining on Pesach for the Yayin, you'd expect to find the same thing, the same discussion. Let's see the Ran on Megillah. I don't know. Let's leave that out for now. That's a good point. So look at what the Ran says. The Ran, where I have the Ran Lashitaso almost. The Ran, Ul'inyan ayoros hamisupakos. Regarding cities that are questionable, so what should you do? So I told you what Chizkiah did in Tveria. But says the Ran, Horu ha-ga'onim, the ga'onim, unrelated to the ga'onim that we were talking about of how they count the Shemitah cycle, but the ga'onim said, Shaholchan, that we follow, if you have a city that's unsure whether you go to some city in China, you're going on a business trip, you find yourself in China, in some ancient city in China, and you happen to be there for a business trip, punked on Purim. And you don't know how old, you know that there's an ancient wall around this city, you don't know how old the wall is, you don't know if it was from the time of actually Yeshua 3,500 years ago, which is a long time ago, right? That's 500 years before the beginning of the first Beis HaMikdash. So it's like a long time, really, 3,500 years. So, what do you do? What do you do?
Find out.
So, who do you ask?
Wikipedia.
The oldest lady in the world just died, the Japanese lady. She was only 119.
The Chabad Shliach, because maybe they are the ones who make the...
So let's see. You just tell me how do we find out? We don't know what happened 3,500 years ago. We don't have records from 3,500 years ago. This is before. This is 1,500 years before the Romans. Maybe. Okay. Horu ha-ga'onim, Zal. The Ga'onim say that you should follow Rov. That makes sense. Most cities were not walled. Most city. If you have an unidentified city, it wasn't walled or not, just assume that it's among the Rov. Most cities in the world, even ancient cities, were not walled in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun.
Why? Back then, that was their only defense. Maybe all cities were walled at that time.
Yeah.
I don't know if the city was in this place, the 3,500. We don't even know if the city was then.
If they tell you the city is 35, is 4,000, that they have a history that's 4,000, they have some pottery.
You have to do some research to find out if the majority of the cities in the time period from 3,500 years ago were walled cities or not.
You're in a specific place.
I'll answer you afterwards. Horah Ga'onim Zal. The Ga'onim said you follow Rov, and most of them, Ruben, ain't Mukafas Chom Yamas Yeshua, and therefore they should read on the regular normal day of Purim, like us in New York, on the 14th. Fine, that's the first thing that he says. Va'od, and furthermore, this is what we're going to focus on. Even if you say it's not, we don't know. You can't say Rov, you can't apply Rov, it's a real suffix. A real suffix, 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 we don't know. 50-50. What is this? This is a suffix to Rabbanan. Oh, Havaleh, look what I underlined, Havaleh, suffix shal devrayim ulekula. And therefore, what happens if it's suffix to Rabbanan? You should be mekel and not lane at all, right? V'nimtza peturos b'shnehem. And therefore, you're going to end up not laning at all in this city. Which means you're going to be mevatel kriyas megillah in this city. And that's untenable. So therefore, what should you do? Finish the sentence. What would you say, based on what the Ran said 5 minutes ago, that if you're going to uproot, if you're going to apply something to Rabban al-Hakal by the wine, and not recline at either of them, that's uprooting the din of reclining, so therefore you have to recline by both. So here he's saying the same pattern. If you're going to uproot if you're going to be say Savi Drabban al-Hakla and not lay in Megillah on either of them, you should have to lay in at
one.
I would think you should lay in at both. That would be parallel. Yet look what the Ran says, and I bolded it and underlined it. I should have made it like bright purple. The fikach, therefore, I'm waiting for him to say you should lay in at both. Just like he said you should recline at both sets of yayins. The fikach, kori barishon upater b'sheni.
There's no
you lay in on the first day. on the Yudalit and you're putter from the second. So he almost is l'shitas. He starts going with the same lumdus of the fact that if you have a subject to Rabban and l'hakel, that if you apply it would uproot the mitzvah entirely, that can't be. We won't say a subject to Rabban and l'hakel. Therefore, and then I have a split. When it comes to the Yayin, it says, therefore, do both. And when it comes to Megillah, he says, do the first day, not the second day. The goal that we have, Rabosai, for the next few minutes, is to figure out why in the world, the Ran, what's the difference between when you don't when you apply Savi Darban Lahakal and you can't do Haseba, you can't knock out Haseba, so therefore you can do Haseba by both. But when we say, if you apply Savi Darban Lahakal, you're not going to do any Kriyas and Megillah, we say, okay, so do the first day. That's the question that I'm presenting. Yes, Ellie.
Just top of the head?
Yeah?
Top of the head could be that Midrash Megillah in and of itself is different because hypothetically sometimes Mekavos Koma lay on Yudalit.
Sometimes what?
Mekavos Koma lay on Yudalit anyway. If hypothetically Purim fell on Shabbos, Mekavos Koma would lay.
You're saying there is a very specific circumstance where even the 15 laners would land on the 14th. So therefore there's an advantage to the 14th. Very good. Very strong svara.
The Mikra Megillah is one thing. The Seba is you are either do the first two or you do the second, right? It's either the first two or the second two?
Yeah. One opinion says do the first two, one opinion says the second two. We don't know which one is right. What do you want to say, Avi?
Because the Gemara brings that Mikra Megillah could have been even on multiple days. It really has nothing to do with Yidalin. It's only, I guess, in the last. Now, if.
Well, it's supposed to be on Yudalit unless there are some other circumstances for which you have to adjust it. It's supposed to be on Yudalit.
Like also it said that on Beis and Hay, if...
Right, that's what I mean. If there, that's an extenuating circumstance, but other, borrowing any extenuating circumstance, if you live in a normal city, from the time of Mordechai Ness, if you lived in a normal city that had a minion, you know, all year long, then you'd lean on Yudalit. Okay, I don't. Let's leave it to what you said before. It's good. Let's leave that. Let's do that. Avi, what do you want to say?
The commonality between Nachman and Shmita are that there's no role that you're going to be basing your. You can't be machnia on one side over the other. Oh, let's do the first two. Or let's do the last two.
They're totally equal.
Whereas role cities.
He's saying even if you say it's equal, he's saying this lumdus even if everything's totally equal.
You couldn't make a compromise, either Nachman or Shmita, because there is no role to fall back on, whereas the Ran is saying that in the case of Purim, there's a rove to fall back on, so let's at least...
The only thing is, when he says this piece, he says, even if you want to say that they're absolutely equal and there is no rove, maybe because of what, I don't know, who somebody said before, that in the olden days, Mr. David said before, in the olden days, everybody's city, or you did, I don't know, every city maybe had, so maybe it's an equal percentage of cities that were walled or not walled, I don't know.
They weren't.
So here he says, even that this piece of, look at the first five words of this underlined piece. Even if you say it's Safik HaShakal, then you can still say, you know, that it will be, we won't use the Rov, and you'll still read on the first.
The Mishnah Kalim implies that there was not the Rov, it was a Milo, that was a walled city.
That doesn't mean that there weren't 50% of the city. I mean, yeah, it's a better city, but maybe half of the cities had. It was because it was better than the other cities. There were the rich cities and the poor cities. The richer 50% of the cities had a wall. The poorer 50% of the cities didn't. I don't know. Doesn't mean it's a fewer than a 50. Okay. Do you have an answer to this? No? Okay. So I'd like to try to discover or uncover a number of reasons why, when it comes to Savik Rabban Lahakel by Yayin, you're going to recline by all four. When it comes to Savik Rabban Lahakel by whether you should lay on the 14th or 15th, we say, oh, just do the 14th, not the 15th. Either way, if you're going to follow Savit Rabban al-Hakal, you'll uproot Mikra Megillah, you'll uproot leaning by the wine. Okay. Comes with Mishnah Lamelech, and he sets it up in a... I'll share with you. Turn to the next page. Turn to page 4. And by the bolded text that has the bullet points, he says a very interesting distinction between Yayin, the reclining for the Yayin, and the 2 days of Mikra Megillah. The svara that he says is like this. When we say that if you're going to do Safik Dabar L'Hakel, you're going to uproot the halacha, that means that the halacha is going to be uprooted. Can I ask you a question? If there's thousands of cities throughout the world, and the Jews know what to do in thousands of cities, and punkt, you find yourself in one random city, on one random Purim, and you don't know what to do, and therefore we'll say, Safik Dabar L'Kula, don't do anything at all. Are we uprooting the halacha? There's no uprooting. You're not going to have a Purim this year. But
the city won't
have. The city won't have a Purim this year, but the Jewish people will. However, listen carefully. When it comes to uproot, when it comes to not reclining on wine, and we say, I don't know if it's the first one or the second one, Safik Dabar L'Hakel, let's not recline on wine. What did I just do? I just uprooted a halacha from Klal Yisrael. Let me say that again. When you have I'm distinguishing between a specific situation of a certain person or a certain community, and they have a Safik Darabanan, and they will be uprooted, or if we're going to be uprooting a halacha in its entirety, nothing to do with a specific community, a specific population, a specific individual. When you have a question, if you're supposed to recline for the first two or the last two, and you say Safik Darabanan L'Hakel, don't recline at all, that means the halacha of reclining for wine has been uprooted because you applied Safik Darabanan L'Hakel. We can't do that. But when you have a city, every city knows what to do. There's one unusual city that we don't know whether it had a wall or it didn't. We know what to do when a city has a wall. We know what to do with the cities that didn't have walls on time of Yosha Ben Nun. There's one, happens to be one, how many cities in the world are there that we don't know if it had a wall in the time of Yosha Ben Nun? 3, 4, 5 cities in the world that had a civilization 3,500 years ago, and we don't know if it had a wall there from 3,500 years ago. Half a dozen cities, a dozen cities in the whole world. So even if we say that, okay, so let's not read the Megillah in those cities, you could apply Safik Dabar L'Hakel. You could apply Safik Dabar L'Hakel. What's the worst problem? Those cities won't have Megillah? Okay. Did you uproot a halacha? Did you make a halacha not exist in the Jewish people? No. These cities won't have it. So therefore, you could be more lenient when it comes to the wine. You're gonna lose. You're at risk of losing a halacha in its entirety. You have to be machmir and recline for everything.
Is he arguing with the Ran?
He is explaining the chiluk of the Ran.
But the Ran said you have to run your dollars.
And okay, yeah. But you don't have to do everything. You don't have to do both. When you're not gonna uproot them, so you'll just do one of them. When you're not going to uproot the halacha entirely, then you could apply the din of Safik Dabar L'Hakel, and, well, we're still going to make you do one of them.
Why can't you just pick the first two kosas to lean on? You're not uprooting the halacha.
Because if the halacha was that you should be doing the last two kosas, you did absolutely nothing. And all of the Jewish people did absolutely nothing.
As would be by Mikra
Megillah. No. Here the whole world is doing the right thing. There's this one city who doesn't know what to do because of their unique situation. They're not going to fulfill the mitzvah.
Right.
But the halacha wasn't uprooted.
We'll fulfill the mitzvah just on Yidalit.
It's not a mitzvah for him, possibly.
It might not be a mitzvah, but that's okay because we didn't uproot the mitzvah. We didn't uproot the whole halacha. It's just this community won't be able to do the mitzvah. 98% of the Jews are still reading a Megillah on the right day. 99.9. Okay. That's one explanation for this contradiction within the Ran between the Dal Kosos on one hand and Megillah on the other hand.
Again, why does he have to do anything? Why can't he just not?
So I skipped the beginning of the Mishnah Melech, and he explains the beginning of the Mishnah Melech. But I just don't want to get into it now. Now, there is a fascinating Mabit. The Mabit lived, when did he live? He lived around the time of like Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, the Shulchan Aruch, in Tzfat, you know, like the early 1500s in Tzfat. I think that's when the Mabit lived. And the Mabit lived in Eretz Yisrael, if I'm not mistaken, no?
It's a border.
Did you learn about the Mabit, Yaakov?
No. Okay, you look it up. We'll find out if that's where the Mabit lived. What? Mabit wrote Beis Elokim. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, he's that time, the early 1500s in Sfat, if I'm not mistaken. But you'll tell him, you look it up right now. And if I'm not mistaken, he lived in Eretz Yisrael. And he was disillusioned. You know what he was disillusioned by? Because the people in his time,
yeah, 16th century spots,
yeah, were not so careful about certain halachas of Shemitah. Specifically, well, the thing that they weren't so careful about was that the Shemitah fruits of a guy, they didn't treat with Kedusha. And he wonders, why is it that people are not being as makpid as they are? They're buying stuff from the Goyim, and they're treating it in the seventh year, and they're treating it as though it's not Shemitah, it's not holy, it's not Kaddush. Why aren't they treating it with the proper Kedusha? Why are they? He was very disillusioned by this situation in Eretz Israel in the 1500s. You know what he suggests? He says, maybe, you know why? He's trying to be Melamed Zechus on them. He says, maybe, you know why? Maybe because since Shemitah B'zman says only Drabbanan, and we don't know what year to count, you know where I'm going. Maybe you could say that there really is no Shemitah B'zman Hazeh. He mentioned this Mabit, that the very last line of the Mishnah Malach, he quotes this Mabit. Look what I underlined in the, if you have, I don't know if it's blue on your print, but towards the top, towards the bottom of the second half of the page, towards the bottom of page 4. Va'acha shanat no shanat ma'at shanim, and now what I underlined. After a number of years that we got confused about how to do the count, we lost the proper mesorah of how to do the counting. Nolad ben ha-chacham ha-machlokas, that's the machlokas we spoke about earlier in the shir. There was born a machlokas of the chachamim al shnasa shmita ezohi. Ve'efshem, maybe for this reason, because of this reason, there is a machlokas, and we don't really know which is the right shmita year, maybe for that reason, rafu yadehen, that's why people became weak, milinog isr b'peir shvias, they weren't so careful about the peir shvitas fruits shel goy. Maybe because shvias b'zman hazeh zomid rabbanan, it's a sveka drabbanan, and therefore they're being mekel. Which was really the whole point that we started with, that how could you can't, which we didn't want to accept as a possibility. He's using this as a limud zechus that maybe people were not careful with Shemitah. So if you know somebody and they don't keep Shemitah, you have something to say. You could still love them. You could say maybe he holds that it's a confusing which year is Shemitah, and Shemitah is only Rabbanan, so he just threw out Shemitah. I don't want to get into that.
Right, no,
but
I'm saying it's a
sex
favor.
I don't,
maybe
okay.
That's more where my bit's going. Because it's
okay, I don't want to get
into it. It's not uprooting the difference. I'm just saying the difference, you know, in the lines that you...
I hear you. I'm going to say this.
By half, you're not uprooting the entire speech.
Okay, maybe.
That's, just going there.
I hear. Now, I have another answer that I found, and the Gra gives it in four words, and there's another, one of the acronyms says, has four paragraphs to explain the four words of the Gra. Says the same thing in four paragraphs. You just have the four words of the Gra. Another distinction, and this is something that actually Eli Blum mentioned half an hour ago. A difference between, why? How come when it comes to the Dalal Kosas we say do everything, and when it comes to if you're not sure to do read the Megillah on the 14th and the 15th, read on the 14th. You know what the Gra says? The Gra says, what happens if you do the first two cups? Did you fulfill the mitzvah?
Not sure.
I mean, maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Okay, what if you did the second two cups? Did you fulfill the mitzvah? I mean, if the second two cups of the mitzvah, then yes. If the first two cups of the mitzvah, you did nothing. However, what happens if you live in Yerushalayim and you lay in the Megillah on the day when the rest of Eretz Yisrael reads the Megillah on the 14th? So the halacha is a b'diyev yotzei.
Oh,
that's helpful.
So therefore, it's not a fair balance of A or B. It's A or B, but if you do A, then you're Yotzei in both places. That's what you said before, that there is an advantage to one of them. It's not an equal suffix. And therefore, when you have the two sets of cups, first two or last two, if the mitzvah is the first two, and you did the last two, you didn't do anything. If the mitzvah is the last two?
Yudalad is the default.
What?
Yudalad is the default.
Correct. Masha'enkin, when it comes to this Dalad Kos, there's no default. Neither the two are more chash than the other. Masha'enkin, when it comes to the 14th and 15th, the 14th is sort of a default, is a better choice if you had to choose one. Because even if you're in Yerushalayim, you could still be Yotzei b'dieved on the 14th. And that's why we will choose the 14th.
With Shemitah, there's no default.
With Shemitah, there is no one opinion. Actually, that's not really true. With Shemitah, and this we could answer with Shemitah also. With Shemitah, the main accepted opinion is that we follow the Gaonim. And therefore, we're not going to say that just be makel and everything, because we have one main opinion that we follow, and that is the Gaonim, And since that's the main opinion that we found, we're not going to apply Savi D'Rabban L'Hakel. Rather, we will say, what?
It's not a B'di'evet, it's comparable to what Rav says by Yudala.
Correct. It's not a B'di'evet, but it is the main opinion. It's a better opinion than the other, because it's one that has been accepted. So Rabbo say there are more answers which we don't have time for. My own notes, I went till page 9 actually, page 10. But we're not gonna go through the rest of it. We should be zocheh be'ez Hashem to fulfill Shemitah as best as we can from a distance. Be zocheh be'ez Hashem, spend some time in Eretz Yisrael, and be zocheh to ingest the Paris of Kedusha Sa'aretz. And be'ez Hashem very speedily be zocheh to have Shemitah Daraisa by having Yovel Daraisa, by having all of Klal Yisrael back in Eretz Yisrael in the place where we belong. And we should be zocheh very speedily. V'mehera, v'yameinu.
Amen. Amen.